Mike, nice to have you with us on Pop Off.
Great to be with you again.
You know, when we talk about leadership, we don't really know people anymore. We think we do. We thought we knew Wall Street, thought they were doing the best thing for us, that everything was growing. The stock market was going up. Prices of houses were going up. Everybody was happy. And then it takes a major note. After a while, people don't trust anybody or anything anymore.
Well, that's true. And then what happens is that as unemployment begins to rise and layoffs are rumored everywhere, fears and anxieties become greater, and fear and anxiety always undermines what trust is there.
Do you think that we elected President-elect Obama because we really didn't know him, but we didn't trust the rest of them?
I'm not sure it was a matter of not trusting the rest. I think for some time we're going to be studying what the Obama effect was and exactly how it played out in this. I think there was, in this election, a real interesting study in how people decide who they will trust, because there are really three arenas in which we form trust. We trust a person's character, we trust their competence, and we trust their concrete results.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever really questioned McCain's character.
No.
The question was, can he bring about the concrete results that we need at this time in our history?
Yeah, or the competence. Now, on the other side, we didn't question the character necessarily of Obama, as much as we know.
Right.
We don't know him as well as we know McCain, because McCain's been around for a while.
Right.
Competence-wise, that remains to be seen, because we don't have any proof there. Results, this is what worries me. What if he doesn't give them all they wanted, or all he promised? Because I don't know any president who's given everything that they promised. Then what's going to happen to him?
Well, as a matter of fact, he's already having to walk that tightrope.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he could have possibly imagined, who of us could, that at the time that he would win election, our country would be going economically through the times that we're in right now.
Well, you know, but what gets me, I'll be honest with you, Mike, they're always talking about, we've been in a recession since 2007. Like it's a new revelation. We knew that already. Duh.
Yes.
So it's like, excuse me, they're acting like we're little children and don't understand anything. And I think the people are a lot smarter than they're given credit for.
Well, I would certainly agree with you there. The challenge that Obama faces now is that in order to assure people in the midst of this this time that we're going through, he is having to surround himself with proven players in the Washington arena. And he really campaigned as a new voice with a new way of governing. But in order to maintain trust in the direction that he's going to take things, it has been very important for him to send strong signals in his early appointments.
Yeah, but it's interesting because he basically, and as you said, he's been questioned already because he's got several in the that are trusted people now around him from the Clinton era.
Right.
Including Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And a lot of people are saying, well, what are you doing? You're just repeating. But he basically said, well, the change starts with me. But you know what? If you're going to surround yourself with the same old, I'm not sure that's going to happen.
You're raising a very valid point, and it's going to be a real measure of his political acumen to see how well he maintains the loyalty and the enthusiasm of the people who elected him because of his promise of change, while at the same time surrounding himself with people who are Washington old hands and are part of the history that he campaigned against.
Also, to be honest with you, the African-American population helped to elect Obama strongly, and there's nothing wrong with that. But could it be possible that they're going to expect too much from him too fast? You know, he's the president of the whole United States, and he's not only black, he's multiracial. So therefore, he is president of the whole country and has to rule that way, not only for one segment of the population.
That is an interesting observation. I'm not certain how much I concur with it, but I can certainly see that possibility is there. The fact of the matter is, the expectations for him have been set so high across the board,
mm-hmm.
he's going to have great difficulty in living up to them. Part of that is the press fantasy world of all the things that were going to be different in the world,
yeah.
that once he was president. That was unrealistic, and it has perhaps raised unrealistic expectations. I'm very heavily involved in a number of activities abroad, particularly in Eastern Europe. And when I talk to my friends in Eastern Europe about what Europe is expecting from his presidency, it's again very unrealistic. The bar is set very high, not just nationally, but even internationally for him.
And that's the whole thing. They expect everything for their own backyard. Rightfully so, because I would too. I mean, I figure, you know, I want the best for our country before any other country.
Right.
And each country is going to feel that same way. And there is no way. I don't care, you know, what happened to the one who was perfect, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to happen again. He's going to get crucified.
Right.
He's going to get crucified.
So the real measure is going to become whether or not he can continue to convince people that he has competency, that he's got the character that the office demands, and how quickly he can get concrete results.
Mm.
And I think that's the piece that is perhaps most out of his control right now, because this economy and what is happening not just nationally but around the globe is forcing us to play with a completely new set of ground rules that are unprecedented.
You bet.
We're having to figure out the ground rules as we go along, and so it's very difficult to forecast what the net result 6 months from now will be from an action that we take today. And he's going to ultimately be the one that people hold accountable for concrete results. And if that begins to deteriorate on him, then he's going to have to be very strong in the character and competence arenas in order to offset the distrust that will develop because the results are so disappointing.
The main thing right now, I realize we still have the Iraq war going on. We still have, you know, men and women in Afghanistan. We've got people all over the world, obviously, dealing with a great deal of conflict. However, when you think about it, the main thing on the minds of people in this country is the economy. You know, the foreclosures are still going on. The mortgage situation is bad. Wall Street is shaky at best. It seems like every day it's so volatile. It, you know, goes up and down like a yo-yo. It's unbelievable. People have lost major money in the stock market. Lots of people lost their pensions. They've lost their investment as far as their stocks are concerned. And people are scared right now. And I think the economy is at the top of the line. No matter what is happening in the rest of the world, people are saying, fix our economy first.
That's exactly correct. In fact, you know, one of the ironies that may come out of this is that Obama and those around him, in fact, most of the Democratic nominees in their party process, attacked the Bush administration for keeping its eye so much on Afghanistan and Iraq that they took their eye off the economy. It may be that what we're going to find is that the economic situation Obama is inheriting is going to make it very difficult for him to keep his eye on the international arena, simply because the economy is consuming so much of his time, focus, and energy.
And people are saying, you know, we need jobs. He's promised, what, 2 million jobs over the next 2 years? That's where? You know, where are you going to get the money to pay for it? I mean, I hope he's right. I hope he's right. You know, I'd be right behind him saying yay. But again, politicians have a tendency, and that's the reason I'm talking more specifically, because I know you deal with leaders of organizations, but they do the same thing. They make promises that they don't know if they can keep, but it sure sounds good so they can get elected to the board.
and the fact of the matter is that for people to stand the rigors of politics and to stand the demands of making your way to the top of large organizations, you've got to have a strong streak of optimism in you.
Oh, yeah.
And a belief that one way or the other, we're going to make this happen. So it's a sort of a natural tendency for you to overpromise, because your whole bias is toward things going very well, not all the things that could go wrong.
And you also have to have a pretty doggone good ego to say that I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in this time, there are other presidencies who were elected. There are always problems. I mean, any president has problems when they go into office. But this is an especially difficult time.
It may be one of the most difficult moments of transition that any president has faced. Now, it's hard to go back and find too many examples that are even near parallels to this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So he's going to have to prove himself, obviously. And that's part of leadership, too. If you're going to be a good leader, you got to prove yourself and make things happen, and as you said, as quickly as possible, because that's one of the leadership qualities. You got to make a difference.
Yes, and I think one of the things that perhaps the Bush administration is not being given enough credit for right now is how they are really trying to be accommodating with him and the team around him in order to give them a running start on making the changes they're going to make.
Oh, yeah, but they dare not do anything else.
Well, that's perhaps true, but we have not necessarily in the history of the United States seen this kind of collaborative transition between the existing White House and the new one coming in. There have been very few cases that you've seen anything like the degree of collaboration and cooperation that's going on now.
Yeah, but again, we've not seen the distrust that everybody has for what has been happening with the Bush administration. So he's trying to go out on a positive note. If he doesn't do it, he's going to go out on a negative note the way he has the last 4 years of his presidency.
I'm not sure that bothers him. I think Bush is a guy who tries to do what he thinks is the right and principled thing to do. And if people misunderstand him and end up distrusting him because of that, he's still going to do the right thing. I think he's doing this because he thinks it's the right thing for the country and for the incoming administration. He's wanting to treat them the way he feels any new presidential administration should be treated.
So you don't think he wants to kind of look at his legacy, too?
If you talk to the people, and being here in Texas, and especially in Dallas, where Bush has spent so much of his life, I'm in a circle with a lot of people who are good friends of his. He doesn't worry about legacy. He worries about doing the right thing as he sees it.
Well, I hope he doesn't worry about legacy, because it ain't going to be real pleasant for a while.
It may not be immediately, but the issue becomes what happens over the next 10 years in the Middle East. If his vision of what could happen turns out to be correct, we may have someone who, years from now, the historians look back and applaud his being willing to stick with what turned out to be the right course, despite the criticism.
Yeah.
I think it's just too early to call that shot right now.
Well, it's not only the Middle East. I mean, the economy is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're going back. It's going to come full circle back to that economy. And it happened under his watch. The economy went sour under his watch, not
yes,
under Obama's watch.
Historians... You've got to keep in mind that if you look at this as a historian, Will, and I'm trained in the field of history primarily, so mm-hmm. that's naturally the way I step back and look at it. Historians are going to also look at the unbelievable run the economy had under him for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was an unprecedented level of low unemployment, high profitability in organizations, companies of all sorts, despite 9/11 and despite the drain of fighting a war in two different countries. From a historical perspective, once we're out of the emotion of this moment, that's going to be seen in hindsight as a fairly striking and significant accomplishment.
Now, I understand that you are a historian,
mm-hmm.
and this is good. We need historians to kind of set things in perspective for us. But I'll be honest with you. People are still ticked off, and they're going to stay ticked off for a very, very long time.
Well, they were with Harry Truman in 1951.
And he still doesn't have a really good reputation. So.
True, but most people who study the presidency today would rank Truman among some of the top presidents that we've had.
Not
but
with
you
the
would
people.
Have never believed that in 1951 or 52.
Not with the people. No.
Because it takes time for us to see the net impact over the long haul and to get emotionally far enough away from the moment to make a really thoroughly balanced judgment.
Like you said, only time will tell, right?
That's right.
That's the whole thing. Hang in there with us. We're going to talk a little bit more about trust and what it takes to have people have trust in us at whatever level we happen to be. We'll take a quick break here, okay?
Good.
This is Dr. Mike Armour, and he is author of Leadership and the Power of Trust.